I love the Super Bowl for a couple of reasons. I love the commercials. I'm a big fan of the commercials. I love food, right? So I love eating. And I love hanging out with people, especially if there's food, right? So I don't know about you, but that's what the Super Bowl really is for me. Now, for some of you, you've been waiting and you're longing for the Super Bowl tonight, and you're like, if I could just get through this sermon, then the Super Bowl comes. Others of you have so little excitement about the Super Bowl, you need the sermon today. Like, you need something to give you energy and excitement. So wherever you are, I hope that it will go by quickly and be useful for you today. We're starting a new sermon series. You may have seen the signs when you walked in. The sermon series is called I Am Here. And this is a sermon series all about Jesus, all about who Jesus says that he is. I think there's a lot of talk in the world today, a lot of conversation about, well, what would Jesus have done about that? And how would Jesus respond to that situation? And what would Jesus do? And part of the challenge is, what happens is we often put our own thoughts and our own feelings in how Jesus would respond to any situation, and we don't often go to what Jesus actually said. We don't go and look at what Jesus actually did. So in this, we're going to look at the things that Jesus said. And where do we go for that? Well, one place would be we could go to the first three books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Part of the challenge with the first three books in the New Testament is they talk more about what Jesus did than who Jesus is. Right? That's part of the difference. You get those first three gospels. So we're going to go to what I call the strange and fun gospel, the gospel according to John. The one that's a little bit tougher, but where we get these words of Jesus describing who he is. And where those words come out are in these statements called the I am statements. Really bold words that Jesus does. He gives these things saying, I am X and I am Y. Now, he doesn't go, I am a man who's walking on the street. He doesn't give them this sort of common thing, but he does take them to places of common things that they would understand. He gives them metaphors about his life. So it would be similar to the parables, except that he's not telling a story, and it's not just for you and to apply to your life and what's going on. It's Jesus' way of describing to the people who he is. I am this and I am that. So the first statement we're going to look at this morning comes from the Gospel according to John chapter 8. I want to read to you. It says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, you're testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, because I know where I have come from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I have come from or where I'm going. See, you judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, who is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Now I want to give you a little background on this statement, on this specific I am statement, and why it would have been powerful for them and potent for them. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's what we're talking about today. I am the light of the world. Now, light would have been an important element in what was called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And this would have been something that those in the Jewish community would have really understood, because it was what they were supposed to feast and celebrate. Sukkot is what's celebrated in the Jewish community today. This feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles. So it was an important thing that they would know about. And why was light so important? Light was so important because what the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah is the oral tradition of the Jewish background, what the Mishnah said was that they would go in to this festival of the women, the temple court of the women, at the close of the first festival day, and they would light these four lampstands. I don't know if you can see them. See that big lampstand right there that has the four lights? Right there in the middle, off sort of to the right, but pretty dead center. It's a little hard to see on this thing. But they would light these four lampstands, and what would happen was, when they would light these, all of the city of Jerusalem would be lit up from these four lampstands at this festival. So everyone in the whole community would know what was going on. It would all be lit up. Now here's the challenge. What Jesus is coming and saying, he's not coming and saying, I'm the light of Jerusalem. What's he saying? I am the light of the world. So think about that. They think it's already a big deal that at this festival of tabernacles, it can light up the city of Jerusalem. But Jesus comes with this preposterous claim. But me, I can light up the world. So they would have understood this concept of light. They would have understood this concept and the importance of lighting up a space. But Jesus is coming with this powerful thing. Now, they would have also understood light in the imagery from the Old Testament. Right? The very first thing that God creates is what? Light. Right? God brings light. The next thing, as the Israelites are moving, they've left Egypt and they've got to go and go through the wilderness. God comes in the form of light to guide them. So they believe in the power of light. So it's almost offensive to them that this man would come and say to them, but I am the light of the world. Because in their mind, only God is the light. Right? That's where their history comes from. Essentially, Jesus takes this image that they would have understood, and he says, you've got two options with what I'm telling you. He says this in verse 12, and again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is looking at them and saying, if you follow me, you'll be able to see. If you follow me, you'll be in the light. If you don't spend time with me, guess what? You'll be in the darkness. It's pretty simple what he tells them. He's saying, you've got two options here. Hang out with me and you'll be in the light. Don't hang out with me and you'll be in the darkness. Now think about this from religious leaders. That's what the Pharisees were. These people who thought they had it all together. And they thought they knew everything. And Jesus says, spend time with me. Now I want to take this one step further. Because I don't think Jesus was ever simply about the person that Jesus was interacting with. I think he was also about the person that they would interact with after he interacted with them. So I don't think it's just spend time with me and you'll have a great life and you'll be in the light. I think it's spend time with me and you can carry the light out into the world. You can reflect this light. So first, I want to deal with both of those concepts. Spend time with Jesus, be in the light. The second is carry it out into the world. First, spend time with Jesus. What does that mean? I think that is such a cliche statement that we say in the church sometimes. Oh, just go spend time with Jesus. If I'm a person who's new to the church, I'd be like, how the heck do you do that? What do? I'm going to give you just a couple of quick things. One, you can come to worship, right? Where there are other people who are trying to encourage you and help you walk along that journey. You can spend time reading the gospel according to John if you want to spend time with Jesus. You can pray. You can meditate. You can serve others. You can be generous. There are lots of ways that you can spend time with Jesus. Not because you have to, but because we get to and we want to be in the light. So not because some church is saying, check off these boxes, but doing it because we want to be in the light. So that's the thing about spending time with Jesus. But then how do we carry it on? How do we do that? Here's the first thing. We have to be countercultural. Now, I may say that and you may go, great, I don't want to hear any more of this. Countercultural, that's what people always say, be countercultural. I want to dive a little bit deeper. When I say countercultural, I want us to think about the light that Christ brought to people. The way that Christ engaged people. It was incredibly countercultural of the time. Christ hung out with people that other people didn't hang out with. He spent time with people that other people would have rejected and said, keep them on the outside. See, to be countercultural is to care about people and to love people, because our culture right now, we see a lot of slinging of harsh words, right? We see a lot of hatred. We see quick postings on social media. And we don't pause and think about things before we say. Or we find people. I mean, just this week, and I don't need to get into what you think about it, but just this week, something came out about our governor in Virginia. And instantly, I saw things slinging from every which direction. Hatred, love, love not for the governor, love for themselves, right? I mean, things going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I was like, wait a second. Let's just take just a pause. Just a pause, because I think Jesus, in being countercultural, is about the pause, about causing people to stop just for a moment. Instead of slinging hate, spreading love, instead of jumping in, maybe jumping in to say, what if we thought about this just a little differently? Here's the second thing. The first thing is be countercultural. The second thing is I think we're supposed to point towards the light. Encourage people towards the light. Jesus gives this call in other places. In the gospel, according to Matthew, it says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Friends, when we do good things in the world, when we are kind to people, when we are generous, when we are gracious with people, we point them towards the light of Christ. When we do these things that help people, John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Movement, said, do good. And that seems so simple, yet how hard is that in our culture today? Just do good. He follows that with do no harm. But just do good. Because doing good points towards the light of Christ. I believe that it's absolutely impossible for us, and I say this, I don't say this often, but I say this boldly, impossible for us to spread darkness if we are completely immersed in the light of Christ. Think about that in your own life for a second. I thought about that a lot in my own this week. It's impossible for us to spread darkness if we are immersed in the light of Christ. Earlier I said that Christ is the light of the world. Here's the challenge that humanity faces today, I think. Humanity faces this challenge where we're constantly putting up blocks in front of people so they don't get to experience that light. We're constantly building things around people so that they don't get to experience the light of Christ. We're putting up those boundaries. Jesus says he's the light of the world, and anyone that spends time with him will get to experience that. But then the Pharisees respond. This is my favorite part in this whole scripture. If the Pharisees would just be quiet. That's a word this morning. If the Pharisees would have just been quiet. But to them, Jesus can't be the light. Light doesn't come from a person. What does this crazy man speak of? So they question it. They say, how can you say that? Jesus talks about this concept of self-witness. Would have been this weird thing in the Jewish tradition. It's really, really powerful. You can't be your own witness. It's not allowed. And look what Jesus says. Jesus says, the Pharisee said to him, you're testifying on your own behalf. Testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I have come from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I've come from or where I'm going. Y'all, this is the ultimate parent response. It just is, okay? I just am. It's just true. Now come and experience it. I am the light of the world. I don't need people to verify that. I just need you to sit in it and experience it. You notice Jesus doesn't do what the church often does. We often go through this litany of reasons. Jesus simply says, I am. And if you knew me, if you spent time with me, you'd know that. Powerful, powerful response. And then he goes on to tell the Pharisees how they are blocking the light. What's the biggest thing that Jesus says to them that is in the way of people experiencing the light? It says verse 15, you judge by human standards. He says, I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment's valid. For it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Y'all, the biggest hindrance to the Pharisees spreading the light of Christ or even experiencing it themselves is their own judgment. It's the biggest thing that gets in the way for them. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, that sort of hits me like a ton of bricks this morning. Who am I judging? Where am I finding myself in places where I'm putting judgment on people before I actually get to know them, before I get to experience them based on some assumption that I have or something that I'm going on? To judge by human standards, Jesus says, is judging by the flesh. And what that means is judging people before you even know them, before you experience them, judging them simply by things that you look and you see or maybe something that they say and you hear. Every interaction Jesus has in the Gospels is not one of judgment. Do you notice? He doesn't start off with, let me tell you all the things that are wrong with you. He starts off with, let me love you. Let me meet you where you are. I heard a story about a young couple who moved into a neighborhood. And they were new. And the wife was sitting in the kitchen and she looked out and the neighbor, this is hard to understand if you've never lived in a less urban area, but she was hanging the laundry up on the line. And the wife looks at her husband and the wife says, boy, she doesn't know how to wash laundry. It's all filthy. How dirty it is. The next time it happened, the wife looks out, the woman next door is hanging the laundry up on the line, and she says to her husband, look how filthy it is. Her laundry is so filthy. This woman is terrible at doing laundry. The next morning, she wakes up and the woman's hanging laundry out on the line, and she looks at her husband and says, she finally figured it out. She knows how to do laundry, and her husband says, no, I got up and I cleaned the windows this morning. Yeah. Who needs to clean their windows? Who needs to take a look at their own lives and the lens through which they see other people rather than looking at other people and judging? I know that's a conviction for me. How am I blocking the light by blocking other people? And why do I continue to do it? This week, I want to invite you to do three things. I want to invite you to spend time in the light of Christ. There are some little things on your seat this morning. There are magnets and there are these clings here. Put this cling somewhere where you'll have it. If you have a computer, put it on your computer. Put it on your mirror. I don't really care where you put it. Put it somewhere where you will see Christ is here. Because I think there is a reminder when I see I am here to spend time with Christ. A magnet. Put this on your refrigerator. Maybe every time you go in the refrigerator, you'll think about Christ is here, right? But put it on your refrigerator. Put it somewhere where you're reminded that Christ is with you in the midst. And think about how you're spending time with Christ. If you don't know where to start, I encourage you, pick up the Bible and go to the Gospel according to John and just start reading. Just start reading. Read the things that Jesus says about himself. Second, I want to encourage you to pause before you speak. Or perhaps even greater, pause before you post. Pause before you write something. And third, I want to invite us to do a little assessment this week. Do a little judgment assessment. How much judgment is in your life? How much are you judging people, and how is that keeping you from interacting with them? I know when I was writing this, I did a little judgment assessment this past week, and I don't have it quite all figured out yet, friends. I know, you're all surprised. Do a little judgment assessment for yourself. Are you judging, or are you reflecting the light of Christ? Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and you have two options. Be in the light or be outside of it.